This is RSVNB Update, episode 481, recorded Friday, September 5th, 2014. Diving into your skills. Hello, everybody, and thank you for joining us for RSVNB Update, just another normal week of RuneScape, RSVNB, and whatever you might be doing while listening to this. How are you doing this week, my friend?
Ooh, I'm good. I'm fine. Dandy.
That's a new month. New month.
It says a new month.
Yeah. So
interesting month it's going to be, too.
Yeah, it will be. We got the first of the September updates this week. In the bigger scheme of things, and with hindsight, probably looking back, it's one of the more minor updates we've seen in September so far. But anyways, aside from that, not really much else going on this week. Got a couple of interesting things to share with you guys, and something that I think everybody will enjoy and appreciate near the end of the show that I'm going to showcase as a result of a discussion we had last week on the update. If you have just listened to episode 480, you might remember that I said something was needed. Or was it 480? I don't know. It might have been 479. But anyways, I have delivered on something that I said was needed. And yes, that was on 480. So shall we begin with this week's update of the grouping system?
Something that you've always wanted, but just not the way you wanted it, did it?
Yes. Yes. So basically, the grouping system, as it sounds, is supposed to organize people into groups and allow them to engage in various minigames and activities on RS, whether they be skilling, minigames for PvP that are safe, dangerous PvP minigames, combat minigames, non-combat minigames, and of course, the ever-popular boss fighting.
And so, dungeoneering.
And dungeoneering under skill minigames. So,
and Slayer, social Slayer.
Tell us how the grouping system works.
Well, in a nutshell, you open up this tab, and what's in it is a bunch of options you can pick. You can pick skills, minigame, PvP, combat, whatever you like. With that, you have the ability to join a queue. The queue is basically, it forms a party, and if there is space, we place in there. If there's not, you'll start a whole other party. And there you can, when they try to make it so that when you're the leader of your party or little group, you have the ability to choose what kind of people you want, what kind of players you want, what some minor requirements that you want. And, you know, when you manage to, Raggeds get ready to go, what it will do is, it'll ask you, hey, they're all on world, blah, blah, blah. You want to teleport to that world. They all teleport there, and sooner or later, you all meet up, and you do whatever it is that you wanted to do.
Yeah, and, I mean, that is how it's supposed to work in an ideal world, am I right? But, I'm going to admit this outright here, that I was not able to get this thing to work. How about you?
Too many people offline.
Yes. That is one of the biggest problems of this system, is it seems as though if you create a group and you don't leave that group and you log out, you're still in that group. The group still persists and you can, you know, essentially have these groups floating around with tons and tons of people who are logged out. And, you know, there's really no point to that. It's cluttering up the system. It's wasting my time. And it just really makes this whole thing really useless. Am I going too far in saying that it's useless?
For right now, it's not optimal. I think there is we can use this, but as of right now, it's not really what you have been hoping for since the very beginning of the engineering.
Yeah, like, to give you an example of the way this went, I tried it with two things last night. You know, the first thing I tried it with, one of the most popular things at the time, was the Fist of Guthix minigame. So I queued up for one of those. And, you know, I got put in a group. It was me and three other people in there. Actually four, but three if you count the guy who was not offline. So basically what happened is me and these two other people were ready to go. We were on the right world. It was time. Oh, no, I'm sorry. It was Fishing Trawler. I got confused there. Fishing Trawler, which, you know, should be an easy thing to get started up. You don't need many people. You can do it with two. You can definitely do it with five. But the person who was leader of the group was on world two, was not responding, was still in game, and it just felt like there's no incentive to start this group activity once you create a group. It's like you create these groups, but the person can go off and fletch to 99 fletching if they want. They can go off and watch a movie. They can do whatever they want in the meantime. So it just feels useless from that whole regard that it didn't even work in that way. And the second problem I had is I attempted to set up a group for going to do some God Wars, or even the Kalfite King for that matter. And, you know, I couldn't get any of these groups to go because the group leader was offline. There were too many people offline. And I was in this chat channel with a bunch of offline names. And, you know, what's the point in that? So that's one of the, that's the biggest problem, I think, with this right here.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and it really feels kind of like an extension of, you know, a chat system to group people together. And
right.
That's good. That's one step that's needed. But, you know, I had an expectation of this thing that if you say Fishing Trawler, okay, join Fishing Trawler, you get asked, would you like to transfer to the world of this group? You say, okay. And then what it should do once you transfer to that world is it should teleport you directly to the start of the Fishing Trawler place. No, it should transport you onto the boat, and it should begin.
It should teleport you to the closest lodestone just in case you need a bank or a resupply or whatever you need to do.
Well, I mean, not even that, because then you're going to be waiting for people regardless of what's going on, and that kind of defeats the purpose. You know, as much as Star Trek Online is a game that, you know, has its problems with, you know, coding and the pay-to-win aspect to a degree, they do know how to do multi-person queues for PvE encounters.
Okay.
So I would like to see something like that here, where you just click a button that says join queue for Fishing Trawler, teleports you to the right world, teleports you to the location, off you go on the boat.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing for God Wars. Make people have the kill count beforehand, make people be on the right world, and off you go into the instance where you are.
Mm-hmm.
So, it has lots of promise, but
it falls short.
Yeah, it falls short. Really short.
I actually tried to do a Dungeoneering group.
How'd that go? What happened.
Zero party member found. Really?
Really? And Dungeoneering is one of the most popular ones, too, by the looks of things.
Here's what I did. So, okay, I needed to do, you know, my C1s. So, all right, in order to do that, the idea is I wanted to test it out. I got a group, all right, max combat level, minimum combat level was 100. Simple enough. I mean, that's not terrible. I mean, I'm complexity level 1, group size small, because that's what we're supposed to do, or large, actually, well, 5. Floor size was small because that's the whole point. Zero is member found. However, I'm pretty sure if I go to 76 and just shout out for a while, I'll get my group and I can get going. And what they should really do is not do the whole join queue and try to spam click on it, whatever. One, if you're offline, you're offline. But
it removes you from the group if you're offline. That's how it should be.
Well, the other thing with that, and also, you know how I think it was Birthrup Game Room. How they had like a giant, I think it was Birthrup. How they had so many tables and you can kind of see who's waiting for a player, who's taken, all that kind of stuff. That's what I think they should do with this. Fill out, you know, for each one, 50 rooms, 50 groups that you can be. You know, in each room we'll say 2 out of 5, 2 3 out of 5, 1 out of 5, whatever. You can, and people can just join. Okay, this one's almost done. Let's join this one.
Yes.
And right there, they can also go, I'm looking for people who join my group to be, you know, 120 combat with this, with this, with this. Boom. You in? All right. Let's go. There's no worrying about, you know, what needs to be done and everything else. And the other thing is, you know, with the boss fights, I think we can do a little more, something a little bit more extreme. With the boss fights and everything else, most people, they don't want to know, and, you know, random who have no idea what's going on. What's the word I'm looking for? They don't want someone who's completely new, have no idea what they're doing. It's like common sense, right?
Yeah.
So what I would think they could also do is kind of connect to the adventure log. And be, I want people who have killed at least 10 times.
Mm-hmm.
I can easily go into Avengers Log. Zoom, you know, it's been the past year. I mean, if they're good, they, you know, they've been killing them for quite some time. And, you know, they'll make it hard for people who are, you know, really low level. But then I'm also thinking, all right, maybe they can also use that to their to Jack-X to Avengers to kind of like easy, normal, and hard mode. If you're doing this, you're like completely brand new, I have no idea what you're doing, you can go in easy mode. Easy mode won't give you, you know, the great loot. You have something simple, but it's a great way for you,
yes,
a stepping point to get,
yes,
to the next, get to move up. And because you know that for those who are experienced, knows how to kill next solo by themselves, everything else, they don't like to teach what they do. I mean, you can look at Google, YouTube right now, which most of them are. A lot of stuff is, you know, now considered, I guess, outdated.
And I mean, just like, one point on this. I don't know why in MMOs we don't share information with people. Because if you look at what you're doing, and if you dissect something hard enough, you will figure out how to do it eventually, providing you have the numbers.
Well, remember, we are the only MMO that really doesn't do this. Many other MMOs who, you know, like World of Warcraft and everything else, you get people who are like completely obsessed, who will dissect the mathematical formula of calculating the damage you need, the weapons you need, the boots that you need in order to stand a 25% chance against this boss, or you become Leroy Jenkins.
You know, when Evolution of Combat was coming out, that's what I was hoping for. I was hoping for that level of granularity so I could be a numbers person, but it doesn't exist to that degree here.
We tried it. You and me and Mike tried EOC, Legacy, and everything else. And, you know, our small data didn't fit our hypothesis. And when someone else did it, you know, way more and posted it, it was pretty straightforward. There's no difference, you know, as much as we, you and me would love to be, there's no difference between EOC and Legacy. Although I have to say one thing that really ticked me off about the grouping system. I tried it and I joined with someone else in another world, which was Legacy only. I was like, dang it. So they put you at that too.
Yeah, that's a good filter, actually.
I was like,
Legacy only, EOC only. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Well, anyway, there's promise in this.
I know.
Hopefully Jack-X will do something with it. Tie it to Adventures Log. I think that would be a great way for them to really hone it. And I think it's also good for in the future if they ever implement a chat system, sometime between now and whenever, and implement a chat system, implement a, you know, for the clans who are going.
You can chat in the group.
No, voice chat.
Oh, okay.
Sorry, didn't make that clear. Voice chat. Tie, you know, remember how back when Dungeoneering came, when they said they want a way to tie voice chat in the game. They could do that with this because then you have a group. You can vote ban people if they start swearing, and if it helps, it helps. You know, then you don't have to go, I need Skype, I need TeamSpeak, I need Fence, I need Mumble, whatever it is. It's through the client. And, you know, just promise in this, I think, is really brand new territory for Jack-X. So hopefully they will listen to this and get some ideas.
There's three easy ways to fix the grouping system. And this is going to go into a supplemental. So as we've talked about, there are major issues with the grouping system. you know, like we said, that you can get into groups that are dead. They have people who are logged out. You can have people who don't know what they're doing. You can have groups that, you know, might not click the ready button and might not click start for ages. You get the idea. Tons and tons of things that are problems with the grouping system currently, but it does show promise, and this can be fixed in a number of simple ways. Like you said, add a difficulty selector so that, you know, if in the future, if somebody wants to fight something easier, you can fight a Kalphi King a little bit easier just to learn how. Or if you want to go hardcore, you can have the requirement that you're going to be able to, you know, just say, okay, I want people who killed this at least 50 times. There you go. So that's one way that we can improve that. Another way is just if somebody logs out, if the group person logs out, transfer ownership to someone else. Mm-hmm. If someone logs out who's not the group leader, remove them from the group. That's nice and simple. And, you know, another thing that they really need with this is, you know, as we said, as I said, just the ability to click, say, I want to go do a round of fishing trawler. Find me a group. This group's ready. In we go. Teleports you to the fishing trawler, puts you on the right world, and then off you go while you're on your boat.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be really good. And, you know, one thing I think that would also help in terms of just streamlining things would also be to give the group chat system, the groups, like the themselves, access to loot share and coin share. Because as it stands right now, you do need to go into a friend's chat in order to access loot share. Yeah.
Huh. I thought it would. Well, I guess someone in there would do it, but interesting.
Yeah, you do need to join a friend's chat for that. And, you know, just make the whole experience faster, because I was sitting around for, oh, it was at least 10 minutes. And I mean, you think 10 minutes, okay, this is fishing trawler. It's the most popular at the time group on here that, you know, is a mini game that's non-combat related. Let's go in there. And there was 25 plus groups, but it couldn't get started, which...
Actually, I would like to get them to do sinkholes.
Yes, sinkholes would be good, because you know how much of a commotion there is every hour and a half when the sinkholes start, right?
So I'm thinking, you know, put yourself up in there, just like, hey, it's almost ready for sinkhole. Like, you know how we do those random event kind of things, right? Mm-hmm. They could do that here, just like instead of turning on announcements and having everyone, I got level 99 every 30 seconds, you kind of say, hey, it's almost time. We found your group. Get ready.
Yeah,
said. It would be nice.
I agree.
I think sinkholes and the demon thing would be interesting. And, you know, for them, like Kalphi King or something, maybe make it bigger than 5, but I don't know if they can do that or not. But yeah, they can be interesting.
Yeah, and like we said, this is an early update, and there's plenty of time for improvement to be made to this. And, you know, it's Jagex's first foray into this kind of thing, so we need to be courteous and give them time to perfect it and whatnot. But it does hold promise for the future, and I'm excited to see what will come from this. Because there is a history at Jagex, recently especially, of making sure that updates are not garbage and they're actually played. There you have it, folks. That's, you know, a bit of an overview of the grouping system issues, but shows promise. So let us know if you were able to get this working at all.
In other words, just join a friend chat and go to the world.
Yeah, that's probably simpler. Especially if it's something like Fishing Trawler or Castle Wars or Fist of Guthix or Dungeoneering even.
Okay.
Alrighty, so this week's tweaks and fixes are kind of small compared to what we were expecting. But nonetheless, seasonal high scores start on Monday the 8th, and they are solo Zilliana kills and herbs collected from patches.
Are you trying for the latter?
For what?
Are you going to try for the second one?
Yeah, I probably will.
Starts on Monday?
Yep, Monday. I'm going to farm as many herbs as I can. I think herb farming to a degree is something that people do who, you know, are diehard about farming, and it's a matter of how many you can put into the day. And I will say that I have had some herb farming runs that resulted in 70 plus herbs before, so that is very nice.
Hmm. Yeah, if you need seeds, let me know. I can donate some.
Yeah.
Let's see. Okay, so just looking through tweaks and fixes. Let me
Yeah, there wasn't
see.
much on the patch notes now, was there?
Very, it was like handful, which I guess kind of good. That means they fix a lot of issues. Let's
Probably be
see.
more next week, just the way the releases fell and everything. One interesting thing, they released a Zaros pack this week that included some Zaros armor and a teleport animation. And, there's a couple things in this that looked interesting, but I was kind of disappointed to see that you can't get the individual items on the store. You have to buy the entire set.
I never bother with the packs anyway, so
Yeah, exactly.
don't care about cosmetic overrides very much.
Well, I mean, these ones kind of look neat, and I think I was one of the earliest Zaros followers in the game, seeing as I did Desert Treasure on the day it was released, so kind of beat everyone to the punch on being a Zaros follower and everything, but I wouldn't mind if I can get it out of a pack. But yeah, nothing really much in the patch notes this week. So let's talk about this week's polls. This ports one, I think, is very important to you and I.
Oh, it was
So,
interesting.
a ports expansion is in the works once again. This one is targeted for January or February of 2015. There's a bunch of options that you can choose, such as a pirate-owned port, keep expanding, dive, 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 in which you gain control of a submarine, unleash the Krakens, which is a mini game that everyone on the world can play. Takes ports from a single player to a multiplayer experience. And then, of course, I don't play ports and I don't mind. So, which did you
Okay.
choose?
I wanted to dive, man. I want to go
You
under
want the
the sea.
submarine?
Yes. I wanted the Red October with the penguin and everything else. Oh, and besides, we have the little, fishy lady right next to us. Surely I could go and see her people. Have a whole new voyage questline thing going on.
Okay. Well, the dive, dive, dive is at 18%. The one I voted for, keep expanding, is at 26%. I voted for that one because I just think that's a natural progression for ports.
Keep
Because I
going
think
further.
if,
Keep going further.
Yeah. Because if ports expands beyond what it is now into either the mini game aspect, while the submarine would be nice, I think that just expanding out is the most natural progression of ports, and it also just keeps ports nice and simple to a point where eventually we'll be able to use player-owned ports on the phone, and it's something you can log in and do in just 5 minutes at reset time and call it a day if you're busy sort of thing. So
And
that's
then
why I voted for
suddenly,
that.
and then each voyage takes 16 hours to be completed, so you're still
Yep.
doing it once a day. It's like,
Yeah, so I mean, if we expand, we'll probably be north of 24-hour voyages, maybe, or 20-hour if.
I hope that doesn't become the case. Then it's like, what's the point?
Well, if they're at 16 now and they increase on average about 4 hours per, that would put us at about 20 or 22, I think.
So you want to? Nah, you should not be doing that. You're doing one mission when technically we will try to do at least two or three every day, at least for higher up ones. The ones who don't play ports, I guarantee you they probably don't have the level, or they're stupid, or they're already maxed out. Actually, no. If they were already maxed out, they would still do it because they want some of the armor, or scrimshaws and whatnot. At least until
Yeah.
they get I have access to them all. Those who don't mind, okay, they just don't care right now. But I wanted to dive. I really want to go under the sea, put on my fishbowl and aqua breather and everything else, go back under. Pirates own ports was interesting idea. I actually laughed. I can so picture people like, me and Yu Sheng picking on the guy who was on the first island.
Yeah, 'cause this is a PvP option, isn't it?
You can
So,
attack other people's ports.
I mean, and once again, it takes ports out of the kind of, contained little mini game in RS that it is to something bigger, which, I mean, it just doesn't feel that natural, if you know what I mean. And I mean, level ports is the level 85 armor tier, and it'd be interesting to see what else we could do amulet-wise and ring-wise and pocket-wise, and maybe even have ports auras or something like that. So I think there is some place that they can go with this. One thing I was thinking of earlier was, I mean, what if the port with this actually got bigger to the point where you could get two more ship slots and you could have more buildings at the port as well?
Mm-hmm.
With the expansion.
Well, if they were to expand, they'll have to tie up some other non-combat, what you know. Yeah, other non-combat, because the only one was some prayer that they added into.
And Hunter.
Well, Hunter's non-combat.
Yeah, they added that.
Yeah, I know, but the only one that was combat related is prayer. Sorry, probably got
yeah,
words
kind
mixed
of.
Up. Let's see. Dunder
if
Forge.
I was to add skills for the
farming,
farming would be one.
Farming
as would
be
Herbler. And
I'd do a mining one. I mean, suddenly you go like, "Hey, we found a great ore deposit somewhere."
Dilithium.
I knew you would go there too, but I was going somewhere else. Huh? How about a doctor, not a bricklayer?
I get it. Right.
You got that one now. It took you a while.
I wonder if anyone else does, because, you know, it's not exactly a simple thing if you don't watch Star Trek. But anyways, the second poll this week is another reaction survey, and I really do think these come too quick after the update. Case in point here, want to play but haven't, 50% pertaining to the grouping system.
Yeah, because it's not working very well.
Yeah, 11% said great, I enjoyed it, it was okay, 10%, and 6% did not like it, and 20% do not want to touch it at all.
I said I didn't like it.
Yeah, same.
It needs work. I mean, you know, it's an interesting concept. They just need to work on it, just like a lot of things they do.
Yeah.
Okay.
These should be really coming 2 weeks after the update, not the same week. I think that would really change these results and make them more useful.
Okay.
So, the raffles.
The raffles. So, we got a nice big raffle to win big prizes. And if, well, Shane, in about 20 minutes, we can see a J-Mod about getting a free ticket, a free raffle. Anyway.
Whoop-de-doo.
Different prize each day of the week. A fixed number of each would be won in total. So, anyway, you go to Birthfield. There's the circus guy, the ringmaster.
Balthazar.
Go talk to him. Balthazar would say, hey, here's a ticket, and there you go. Then you have a chance of either going to World 124 or 98, I think it was.
Yeah, 98.
And 98 or 124 to get a free one from JMod.
Another thing is, if you're not able to reach a JMod, or you're having issues with lag or whatever, you can just do a daily challenge, and that will reward you your second ticket.
Yay.
So that is a very good way of doing things. The prizes are going from Monday through Sunday, respectively. 100 million coins, a golden god sword, golden war priest armor, 3 death touch darts, remote bank deposit boxes, silverhawk boots, and skilling outfit pieces. I am primarily going for the god swords and the 100 mil.
Hmm. Okay.
What about you?
Darts. I actually want the darts.
What are you going to use them on?
I was thinking about doing it on Arexi, but then I was reading their wiki and said, like, oh, I'm bringing it to the fourth wave, so does that mean I have to use it twice or something? And that way I can at least say, Shane, I killed it! Like I did with Queen Black Dragon a couple years ago. I was thinking about Virago, but they also said that one takes basically to do the final phase. I was like, probably won't even survive that.
Yeah.
So think about doing it on Nex. Just why not?
Yeah, that's where I got my Torva gloves.
I know. Jerk. Lucky. You got so lucky with that one, man.
I know. But I'm going to say that if you're interested in using this as a way to make money, and, you know, you might not want to gamble too much, Silverhawk boots, or the feathers, if you own them, do offer a good way of getting some quick cash, because you can sell the feathers on the exchange if you already have the boots. So that is something that has 10,000 of them available and can be sold for GP after the fact. And you got a higher chance of winning those than the 100 mil and the God Swords.
Okay. You think it'll change every week or be the same thing every single week?
I think they're going to be the same thing for the entire week.
For a whole month.
Yeah, for the whole month, I mean. You know, they did call this Surprise September, so I do wonder what else they have in store, because, you know, this really is one thing, and it's not that amazing, if I must say so.
Well, what if they're trying to see who's willing to hog up all of their stuff, and then on September 30th, they said, "Free P hat to one lucky guy!" Like, ooh, snap!
Yeah, that would be interesting. Everyone who entered one of these raffle tickets in September has a chance to win a party hat, which has an insanely high number that you'll actually get it. And there's only one of these available for the entire world.
So one lucky person will get it. That'll be interesting. Okay. And they won't say what color it is, too. So that would be nice.
Yeah. And I mean,
okay, I'd leak that.
Though thinking on this, I mean, that would be a huge amount to put into the economy. But I mean, think of all the party hats that were banned and lost over the years. So I think adding one or maybe two of them wouldn't really be that big of an issue at the end of the month. Right?
Yeah, it wouldn't.
So. Alrighty, so that's the raffle. I will be entering in on Mondays and Tuesdays. Now, this week, they did a bit of a live stream pertaining to lore Q&A with Mod Osborne. This was on Twitch, and as much as I want to share this with you guys, I can only share half of it, because for some reason Twitch muted half of the stream.
It's Jagex censorship. He was leaking corporate information.
Well, I mean, but this is pertaining to the Twitch thing that we mentioned a couple weeks ago, where it will mute the stream if it detects audio from a third party. So I'm wondering what Jagex was playing in this, unless their own music got caught as being flagged, which would be pretty bad if that was the case. But hopefully this was recorded to another source that can be uploaded to YouTube or something similar that won't have this kind of issue. So fingers crossed.
And, but next up, we also have something. Win a 42-inch full HD smart LED Sony TV. Woo!
Yeah, this was kind of weird, don't you think? I mean, what does Jagex have to do with Spider-Man?
Well, probably teamed up with Sony over something, and they're just advertising Spider-Man.
Yeah, I guess. But, I mean, Spider-Man never had anything to do with RuneScape. And if Jagex wanted to do a competition to the effect, why wouldn't they just come up with their own sort of, you know, theme, well, basing it on something? Like, well, I mean, they did in this case, but it's like the Spider-Man thing is just thrown in there for some reason. It's not like they need the help.
Sony.
Oh, Sony. Is
Sony advertising, man?
Is Sony the people behind Spider-Man?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I see.
They own Spider-Man right now. That's why they rebooted.
Interesting. Did you know that the person who directed these new Spider-Man movies is named Mark Webb?
Hmm. Yeah.
Like, they get it? The last
yes,
name, last
I get
name
it.
Web, like Spider-Man. Mm-hmm. Web.
So, Anyway, to enter this competition, you have to draw a poster. This poster is to pretend you're doing a movie theme poster for a specific quest. I would enter, however, my stick figures are not up to par.
If I was doing this, I would do a movie poster for the quest of one small favor. You know why I'd do one small favor?
It wasn't, you thought it was only one small favor.
Yeah, and it would use a kind of a graphic, kind of like, you know, those Russian nesting dolls where you open one and there's another, you know, another, and you gotta keep opening them until you get to the end. Because that's what one small favor was like. Or another one we could do is we could do World Wakes, just have it be very apocalyptic in nature. The gods wake, something like that. And with Guthix and, you know, picture Sliske in the background with that evil look on his face. And I think it'd be interesting to see what the people come up with. And ultimately, I wonder if the winner will have their entry sent to Jagex as an actual poster. But let's see. Let me just have a look at the terms and conditions here. Okay, these are not terms and conditions. I did not want that. Okay, the FAQ. Let's see if there's anything in the FAQ about what kind of format. No, there's nothing here on format. As I was thinking, what if you wanted to send Jagex like a Photoshop document or a JPEG of your movie poster, and the movie poster is in such a dimension that its pixel size is equivalent to, you know, one of those huge movie posters that's like 1 meter wide and 1.5 meters tall? So I was thinking, what if somebody actually made a poster that big, shrunk it down, and then actually had it printed, and then showed them what it looked like in real life as an effect to kind of amplify, you know, how good this poster looks. I think that would be a surefire way to win, combining it with a very iconic quest, a very good tagline, and good graphics, of course. I think that's the way to win this contest. I also bet we'll see something in the contest with anime. For some reason, people always tend to draw RuneScape characters as anime critters. I have no idea why. I personally don't think that's a very good idea.
Because some people actually do like anime.
I know, but since when is RuneScape anime? That just doesn't make sense to me.
So, it's cartoon.
Whatever.
Because you don't like cartoons as much as other people do.
RuneScape the animated series. All right.
Superman.
So following from this, I want to highlight, take the time to highlight, an event that RSBNB is going to be involved in that was announced this week. So let's say that you can't actually make it to RuneFest. A fellow by the name of Polyvore has created an event called RuneFest In-Game 2014. It starts at the exact time that RuneFest starts in real life, and it's going to go all through the event in that case. And there's going to be tons of little events going on here. There are so far four activities highlighted. RSBNB, we will be taking a part in this and running one of these events. So I would highly recommend that everybody head on over to the official forums and look this up. Quick find code and link can be found in the show notes at update.rsbnb.com.
All right, so for those who cannot make it to RuneFest, here's what you can do. And hey, sign up, have some fun, have a cookie.
Yeah. And it's running, okay, it's not all day, but it's close enough. It's running for about 9 hours worth, right? Which is pretty good for an RS event.
And usually what happens, it just ends up with some mega beast kill.
Yeah, that would probably be a good way to kick it off. The RSBNB ambassadorial team is going to be putting together the events for this, and we are, of course, offering support to Polyvore on this podcast, on Twitter, and a bunch of other places. But do look for us there on the 11th.
Cool.
Very good.
Very, very good. Okay. Next up, we have the video behind the scenes of The Road to the Elf City.
The final one at that. And, I mean, it's really, really looking like it's starting to come together, I think, right?
Mm-hmm.
As mentioned, the behind the scenes we'll be seeing it this month. But this one focused on agility and prayer and dungeoneering and herb lore. So interesting skills, nonetheless, as to how they want to do this. One thing that was mentioned in the video is they said they didn't exactly know how to combine agility and prayer in the Elf City, and that took some creative thinking. So watch the video, you know, learn about what's going to be happening for those. I think it looks pretty good, especially the rooftop stuff that's happening. Finally, rooftop agility in RS3, might I add.
Parkour.
Yes. That's what it looked like in this part. But the other side, dungeoneering and herb lore, a level 95 resource dungeon and a level 115 resource dungeon.
Okay. 95 resource dungeon. That's nice.
What about the 115? How do you feel about that one?
I hate you. You had to bring that up, didn't you?
Yes.
I'm close to it. Just not there yet.
Oh, that's great. And of course, tons of combination potions with herb lore. I am going to be very, very interested in that part of the Elf City.
There's almost one thing that still bugs the living daylights out of me, though.
What is that?
He still holds that arrow the wrong way.
Who?
The mod. He still holds the arrow when he's trying to draw the arrow, bow and arrow. He's like, it's completely off. That's not how you do it.
I see. I had no idea that was a problem, nor that holding, he was holding it
with his entire hand. I was like, don't do that.
Well, he's obviously not going to fire the arrow, and it's for show, right?
I mean, but he's supposed to be an elf. An elf is the master of bow.
Yeah. So is Robin Hood, though.
Yeah, but Robin, you know, Robin Hood was hiding in the forest for years.
Okay. We are going to move on to the listener question. I hope you guys enjoyed that little bit of coverage there pertaining to the grouping system and the raffle and ultimately giving you guys something to do on the 11th. So we hope to see you there. Now, the question is from Flash. Dear hosts, what are you guys saving your raffle tickets for, if you're saving them at all? I think I want to try my luck at either the 100 mil or the Silverhawk boots. Also, I heard from Mike that a rework of the community high scores is on the way. I was wondering if you have an exact time frame for when this will be completed by yet, or is that still uncertain? That is from Flash.
There we go.
Well, I said I'm going for the 100 mil or the God Swords. What are you going for again?
Darts. I want the darts. I want the darts. I want the darts.
Alrighty. Times three, because you get three of them.
I do.
yeah, the community high scores rework is on the way. As far as I'm aware, most of the plumbing as to getting the data and manipulating the data on a daily basis has been done. And at this point, it's just connecting it up towards a UI, which I delivered the UI prototypes, I believe it was 2 weeks ago. So I'm not sure what the current timeline is for that, since the high scores really aren't my project, but I did help out in the design phase of these ones, and I do have to say they do look pretty sharp. I think if we're looking for a safe estimate, we could say by the end of the year we'll see this update come out. And I know a lot of you guys have been wanting it, especially those that have changed names, and your progress will be saved going forward from this. So I want to see this come out as quick as I can as well, but it's not my project, so I can't give a definite timeline as to when this is going to come out. But should I spill some features as to what these are going to have?
Give one tea, small teaser.
Well, what kind do you want?
Up to you. You're the
All
one.
right. Well, I'll give two teasers, one more general. The first one is it's going to be a lot easier to read, and all the information will be available, and the pages will be more useful. Because right now, if you go to the high scores, the main high scores page is relatively static in that the same people are always in the top 10. So we kind of wanted to make the main page be a little bit more useful, so that's been done with a number of features. I won't exactly say what yet. And actually, well, I'll make this as the tease. The main thing that I do talk about. There is a way now on these high scores to look at your user history and see what you did on this day in history. So if it's the day you got your first 99, it'll show you what you did on this day in history for all the years that you've been a member of our high score system.
Okay.
So that's this day in history module that will be appearing on your user page. So that's one thing that's new. And I think there's about three or four other new things as well that are coming with it. So very interesting to see it from a UI perspective. And just talking in general, when you make something like this and you make it at a high level and you create the UI for a new product, you wish you could just go in and start using it right away. And it's something that, you know, just it just feels so good. It looks so good. It's so much more modern. That's how these high scores feel to me, and they're something that I want to use so badly. Granted, I did make the design for them, but I mean, it just feels great. It's kind of like when a new version of iOS comes out.
Okay. So
can we talk more about them?
What, the high score?
Yeah. Well, okay. I mean, we can, but... Well, maybe we'll get Mike on when we release them, but... I got something else to share with you guys later today.
So good. Yes. You little bullion.
What?
You slapped like one.
Oh, I see. Okay. All right. Well, if you guys have questions, you can submit them on the forums, rsbnb.com/forums, or email them to questions@rsbnb.com. You can also send audio questions there. Just make sure you're understandable and you're not too loud, because that hurts our ears. All right. Tech news.
Well, we have Apple, who denies a recent leak onto the internet.
Yeah. Did you hear about this before today? The
of course I
number
know
of
about
celebrities.
It.
Okay. I just wasn't sure if you watched that kind of news or not.
It's kind of hard to avoid it when people think 4chan is the hacker.
Oh, okay. Well, basically what happened is a whole bunch of celebrities had their iCloud accounts hacked. And Apple denies any breach in the system, and they say that it really did come down to a matter of social engineering and password faults on the result of the user, and they were just targeted that way with the recovery questions. So, I mean, there's a point whether or not you can believe Apple. I personally believe what they're saying, because social engineering has become the number one way to hack someone. You get access to their recovery questions. You're popular online. You can Google what a person's recovery questions might be, and there you go.
Okay, and according to some, it wasn't a breach of the iCloud. It was bad password management. That's what I heard.
Yeah, yeah, that's basically what I said there in a somewhat more technical way, but... the number one solution to this is just to keep your passwords very secure. And, you know, recovery questions, they can be social engineered. So I do say that if you are truly worried about it, come up with fake answers to these questions and keep them in a place where, you know, they'll be secure, such as a digital wallet available on something like LastPass or 1Password. Another option, of course, is to enable two-factor authentication on your iCloud account, which is supported in the U.S. and I think in other countries as well. But unfortunately, if you are on a device, they don't use two-factor authentication. And of course, with this, Apple will be adding more countermeasures to protect their people's accounts, which is always good. You have anything else on this one?
I feel bad for the celebrities.
Yeah, well, I mean, this really comes from people, you know, just having so much faith in a single password, which I think we've proven that you really can't in this day and age, if you know what I mean.
I don't know. It just a lot of it got leaked out. And on the bright side, pancreatic cancer awareness research thing got a nice big donation from the internet. Okay.
Alrighty. Next step, our next piece of tech news is that Broadcom, the manufacturer for most Wi-Fi chips in our phones and tablets, has released a very, very fast Wi-Fi chip that is capable of supporting data throughput of 650 megabits per second.
Okay.
Yeah. That's very fast. And, you know, at this point, I gotta wonder, you know, do we really even need a wired network anymore?
Do we need a wireless wired network anymore? I say yeah, we do. Technically, it's still the most secure way.
Or can we just go Wi-Fi?
It messed up.
Hmm?
No, you know my Wi-Fi issue.
Yes, you're right. Sometimes Wi-Fi doesn't work in places for people, and it can be caused by interference from other devices, bad stuff in the walls. So that is where wired does have its true advantage. But, I mean, if you do have good Wi-Fi and you know your Wi-Fi is good, this is a pretty good thing to have. And I can't wait until we start seeing this kind of technology on computers.
Okay.
Alrighty.
Wi-Fi is interesting, but there are times when wire is better. It just saves you more hassle.
Alright, well, I think I'll let you handle this last piece of tech news, since this is something that was also close to your heart.
No, really. But it was just, I didn't want to change. Okay, so for the last tech news that we have Microsoft who completely shutters MSN Messenger. So the last traces of the old Messenger system has finally disappeared by the end of October. There will be no more. All gone.
Yeah, and basically, the only last safe haven of Microsoft Messenger was in China. And it's already started to disappear, the application, in lots of places. I can still actually sign into my MSN account through third-party clients. So I still wonder if the actual network's going away or if just the software in China.
Technically, Microsoft Outlook is still up and running.
Yeah, but that's kind of different. So, I mean, it is an XMPP-based application protocol, which means that it can be used by any kind of messaging software out there. But nonetheless, if the main application is going away, people do tend to stop using it. So, I don't know. I mean, it makes sense to shut it down, seeing as Skype is where everything is these days. And, you know, at the end of the day, it was one of the first, and it was my first messenger. So it's pretty much gone now for good.
AOL was mine.
Yeah. I think AOL was very popular in the U.S.
No, it's popular in the U.S. because most people could figure that you got mail. Cool. It was only they could talk to you. Cool. You got mail. Cool.
Yeah.
That was it.
All right. Well, goodbye, Microsoft Messenger. And that is it for tech news this week. So let's move on to other things with the September skill of the month. The fletching skill of the month. Rather boring, isn't it?
It just started. It's a tedious skill. And, surprise, Flash had a little shot straight up, didn't it?
Yeah,
it was
Flash
consistent
is
every day, though.
Yep, consistent every day. And with that, Flash is in first place with 2.4 million XP. And second place is Bletherskite with 693,000.
He flatlined for a while.
Yeah. And everyone else is well back at, about 100k or less. So I'm guessing people aren't that interested in fletching.
It's hard to get enough wood.
Yeah, well, I mean, pretty much everyone here except for about three people already had level 99 fletching. So
I don't.
Well, yeah, but you're not entered in this.
Hmm.
Okay. Well,
come
on.
We'll see. We'll go for second place.
Yeah, I really would like these people to keep this alive because, I mean, I don't want to have to report on the flat line and for the rest of the three shows we have in September, so please do, people, keep this interesting. Thank you.
Cleared!
Nope.
All right, so next up, we have a rework that Shane's been working on, a rework of our skill comparison calculator.
Yes, so as I said earlier in the show, this is something else that I've wanted to share with you guys. Seeing as we can't exactly share the high scores just yet because they don't exist in a usable form currently, I do have something that I have been working on for the last day or so, and this is a rework of our famous skill comparison calculator. This skill comparison calculator is something that had never been duplicated before by any other fan sites, and there's a good amount of use for it. Even staff from other fan sites did find this very calculator useful. So with that being said, what I'm showing you guys or telling you guys about is something everybody should go have a look at because it indirectly relates to last week's change, of the adventurer's log. So
right.
The adventurer's log brought in a thing that let you see your progress towards various skill milestones, right?
Mm-hmm.
And if you remember on last week's show, I said, this is good, but I can only set this for all the skills at a time. What if I only want to go to 120 and two skills? What if I want to go to 99 and one, but the rest are fine where they are? Well, you can do that with the skill comparison calculator. That is one part of this upgrade. And in this upgrade, you can effectively set your goal level for each of the skills in-game, and it will remember it across sessions. So let's say you go do something, close the browser tab, come back, and you see, here's the level 120 farming goal. You can see how far you compare to it and how much XP is left at a quick glance. Currently, I'm 3.6% of the way there, so it's not exactly going at a good pace, but you can see that I have made some progress. Other changes that have been made to the skill comparison calculator are that it supports multiple usernames now. So if you enter your name and you're looking up a friend, maybe, and you want to play with some goals and show it to them, well, you can do that too. All you need to do is re-enter in the name and remember the goals for that username and any other username you enter. So you and your friends can use this on the same browser. It works like that. And finally, it can now be sorted. You can sort all the columns in this table without having to reload the page, which cuts down on load time and just creates a more fluid experience for you.
Cool.
And this is, of course, not to take away from all the little back-end changes that have been incorporated, all the advance we've made over the number of years that were not in the old calculator that are in the new calculator here. So it really is a true rework in that fashion, and I think it's one of the most useful tools that you can have at RSVNB. And that's a skill comparison calculator. RSVNB.com/RuneScape skill comparison calculator with dashes between the words.
Okay, that's about it. So thanks, Shane, for the new calculator. And as we have achievement of the week, we only have one this week. We have Alex, 43, who got 99 range on September 2nd. We might get some more later down the road.
Congratulations.
Uh-huh.
99 range is always a nice one to see.
Mm-hmm. And take a look at our new Informa article, Stepping into September, written by our beloved new mod, Earth, or Reed. So have a cool, take a look, take a read, and yeah. Oh, that was not, actually was not intentional. My bad.
Oh, that's a good one.
No, all seriously, right, but I wasn't even thinking that.
That is Earth's first Informer Roundup as global moderator and leading the community ambassador program, which recently brought on Schwa, Dave, and Magic King. So you can look forward to be hearing more from those guys later this month as to various things that will be going on with events and everything. They're effectively going to be our outreach team for working with other fan sites, planning events, and in general, just making it so that those of you guys at RSVNB can have good things to go to and can interact with everyone around the RS community.
Hey.
So, read that roundup. Informer.rsvnb.com. Yes, I do. I do. This pick of the week is something that I ran into just out of the blue on Twitter last week. It's something that I think that everybody can take some enjoyment out of and maybe even amazement at, and that is pictures of the Earth from space. You know, we always see the Earth as, you know, as we're walking around town and, you know, as we're moving through the car along the countryside and everything like that. But we never really see the Earth from the perspective of the air or way up above in low Earth orbit. And the people on the International Space Station have had internet access since about 2010. And since then, there have been lots of tweets going out as to various pictures and whatnot from the space station. Mm-hmm. And this is a new website here, and it aggregates all of the pictures that were tweeted and puts little pinpoints in the map of where they were. So if you want to go to this website, link in the show notes at update.rsvnb.com, you can just look at your part of the world and see where these things exist. So here's one here. We can, you know, see Northern Canada from this one. You know, at the very beginning, it looks as though this isn't the way we're used to seeing the Earth. But once you do realize what these things are, then it's really, truly amazing as to how small we actually are and what actually is going on way above this. To give you guys an example right now, for me, there's a picture here that shows Edmonton, Calgary, Spokane, Vancouver, and Seattle all in one shot.
Mm-hmm.
So it's this kind of thing that you can find on this website. And there are literally pictures from every corner of the world. There are pictures from Africa, Europe, North America, South America, you name it, anywhere.
Okay.
Yeah. So go have a look. Really, really interesting things. And if you go to the southern pole or the north pole, you can actually see the northern lights in some of these photos, which is really amazing in itself.
I like the one from Antarctica.
Which one?
One
is it
from
an
Antarctica.
A or an R?
It's an O.
Oh, okay, I see it. I see it. Right? Yeah, that one really shows Antarctica. I mean, you don't really see Antarctica as being a continent because it's just down there covered in ice and nobody really cares about it. But here you can actually see the mountain ranges down there. So, yeah, it's nice. So, what have you been up to?
Oh, not that much as me. I kind of leveled up a little bit. I got construction and hunter up, and I leveled up. What other thing? What did I level up? Well, I'm close to leveling up farming. With that, if I can actually get myself to do it, I'll actually get 2,500 skill total.
Yay!
Yeah, and interestingly enough, it's 99 prayer is slowly creeping up.
Ooh. Yeah, I thought you already got 99 prayer, no?
No, I got 98. I said okay. I need a way to I could get 99 prayer. I just need a way to use up the almost 500,000 bonus XP I dumped into it. God dang it.
Right. And you know, speaking of getting 2,500 total level, that is something that you can do on the skill comparison calculator. If you're going for level 2,500, what you can do is you can go through all your skills, sort them by which levels you're closest to, and see which ones you might want to get a couple more levels in. And as you update the numbers in the goal column, your total level at that goal also updates. So you can stop once you reach 2,500, and then this will be saved for your viewing later on. You can just sort it, and you can see which skills you need to work on to get closer to that 2,500 total level goal.
Mm-hmm.
So that is the real use of the skill comparison calculator, folks.
Hey.
As for me this week, aside from the skill comparison calculator, this week on RS, ports, herb farming, a couple Slayer tasks, I think, and testing out the group system, which was kind of weird in itself, because I ended up soloing Commander Zilyana for about probably 25 minutes yesterday on easy mode, so I mean, I don't know how I would do hard mode at this point, but easy mode still works for soloing, right? So I soloed her for that long, and I did end up getting an elite clue scroll, which I'm in the process of doing, and some War Priest boots, which I never got during the world events. So those were two rare drops that appeared.
Mm. Cool. So, good job, Shane.
Yeah.
Lucky you.
Yeah, and I mean, I could go for longer if I, you know, would take the right potions, bring more overloads, that sort of thing, because I was rarely using food. So I'm going to look into seeing if soloing the commander is a good money-making method. We'll have to wait and see on that, though.
All right. I have nothing else to add, so I'm looking forward to seeing what happens next week in the game.
Yes, so with that being said, we will see you next week, everyone. And remember that you can subscribe to us on iTunes and do that. Be good for you. Downloads it automatically. And, of course, check out the skill comparison calculator. That is up as you're listening to this. See you next week, everyone.
And get ready for the Elven Lands.